Does climate change really cause wildfires? Did Danielle Smith's office really try to meddle in a criminal investigation in Alberta? Does anything the legacy media tell you ever turn out to be true? Well, it is Fake News Friday, and today we're going to announce the biggest fake news hoaxes of 2023. I'm Candace Malcolm, and this is The Candace Malcolm Show. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. Don't forget to like this video, subscribe to the True North channel if you're not already. Leave us a five-star review if you enjoy this podcast. Head on over to our website, tnc.news, to sign up for our newsletter. And if you want to support our journalism, please consider hitting that donate button. Okay, so today on Fake News Friday, we are going to announce the winners of our Fake News Friday 2023 awards for the biggest fake news hoaxes of the year. And once again, I am joined by True North journalist and host of Ratioed, Harrison Faulkner. Hey, Harrison, thanks for joining us.
Of course, happy to do this, Candace.
Okay, so we have each chosen our top fake news story of the year. But before we get to that, we have a couple of honorable mentions. So both of the stories that we're going to talk about first are about debunking an earlier narrative. And so if I think of this decade so far, the 2020s, and I think of probably the most damaging, the most egregious narratives that legacy media have been peddled. I think of two right off the top. Number one, the unmarked grave story, the idea that Canada committed genocide at the residential schools. And the second, I mean, there's so much to do with COVID. There are so many fake news narratives to do with COVID. But when you finally saw a group of citizens stand up and fight against the COVID totalitarianism, the legacy media smeared them as being far right, radical, extremists, racists, and even Nazis. So, of course, here at True North, we've known from day one that both these narratives were wrong. But unfortunately, many Canadians, most Canadians probably, believe them to be true. Well, I think 2023 was another year of vindication, another year where we uncovered facts to further discredit and destroy these two fake news narratives. So, Harrison, why don't we start with you? Why don't you start and tell us about how that narrative of the trucker convoy being a hate group sort of really fell apart in 2023?
Absolutely. Well, there was a major story that broke a few months ago from a journalist whose name is Karima Saad. Now, she wrote a story called Hategate, a big investigation into this organization, the Canadian Anti-Hate Network, a group that I know our audience knows very well, unfortunately all too well. You see, the reason for this is that the Anti-Hate Network has been pumping out fake news, propaganda, targeting a group called Diagolon. Again, if you've been paying any attention to news over the past few years, you've heard of this group, Diagolon. Diagolon is essentially a fan club for Canadian podcaster Jeremy McKenzie. But for whatever reason, the Anti-Hate Network has been focusing in on this group, labeling them as a violent, dangerous, militant, even going so far as to describe it as a neo-Nazi organization. Well, sure enough, Candace, during the Freedom Convoy, the federal government were relying on Anti-Hate Network stories, which turned out to be fake, by the way, which turned out to be single-source, open-sourced intelligence, describing this group as a dangerous, violent, extremist organization. Through access to information, Karima Saad was able to uncover that during the Freedom Convoy, the day that the Emergencies Act was invoked, officials inside of Justin Trudeau's office were scrambling to try and find any intelligence they could get their hands on that would make the case that, in fact, there were violent, dangerous groups inside Ottawa during the Freedom Convoy. Sure enough, they had nothing except for a bunch of legacy media articles which sourced one source, a source from the Anti-Hate Network describing this group as a dangerous, violent, militant organization. It's absurd that the legacy media would rely on the Anti-Hate Network, but it's even worse, Candace, that the federal government relied on those legacy media reports to justify the single worst attack on our freedoms ever since, well, Pierre Trudeau invoked the War Measures Act. This is where we're at right now. We are at where an obviously biased, partisan group that targets conservatives, that uses open source intelligence, ends up being the source that the government relies on to invoke the Emergencies Act. And the legacy media was there all along the way, holding the government's hand so that they could use these fake stories to justify this egregious decision. Unbelievable. It is one of those major fake news stories I hope we never forget.
What a clown show. I mean, it just shows you how amateur and pathetic these people are. It's like that, this liberal funded group. Let's not forget that the Anti-Hate Network is funded in large part by the Trudeau government. Trudeau government's funding this organization, giving stuff to the media, giving it back to the government. It's all just, insular. And of course, it's all disgustingly exaggerated. And I think Canadians also learned this year, Harrison, that the Anti-Hate Network is a total fraud because its founder, Bernie Farber, let the cat out of the bag during the Israel, the pro-Hamas rallies that we're seeing all over Canada. It's like, hey, how come the Anti-Hate Network's not commenting on any of his hate towards Jews? And then in a response on X, he just writes, oh, well, I wish we could, but we only have a mandate to cover right-wing groups. It's like, what? Since when? No one in the media ever said that. The media constantly cover this group, constantly source this group for their news stories. And never once did we ever hear, not on their website, not in the federal funding for this group, does it ever say that they're only supposed to look at one side and only supposed to look at conservatives. So from my perspective, the entire organization is completely discredited. Any media outlet that have quoted them is completely discredited. And the fact that the government was relying on that on top of it, I mean, what an absolute farce and a joke, Harrison.
Yeah, no, and it gets even worse, Candace. So this access to information, these access to information documents that the journalist who wrote this piece were able to get their hands on show that the actual intelligence to justify labeling this group Diaghilon as some sort of violent fascist neo-Nazi organization was never there. In fact, the internal communications show that not only did this Diaghilon group not even technically meet the definition of a group, but there was nothing that they had to make the case that these were actually dangerous people. But that, of course, didn't benefit the government. That wasn't what the government was looking for. They had to get anything they could. So they ended up relying on fake news published by the legacy media to do this. It is astonishing that that is what happened just last year. It's important not to forget this is not some faraway story. This was what happened last year. The federal government and the legacy media teamed up to push a narrative that was not true from the beginning. It's unbelievable.
Right. Well, yeah, 2022 was the year of the trucker convoy, and 2023 is the year that we learned that everything that the Trudeau government said was completely untrue. And I mean, Diaghilon, like it's a joke. It's an online joke. It's not a real thing. And the fact that they pretend that it is and treat it seriously is just so pathetic. Okay, Harris, I want to move on to the next one, which is we learn more about the unmarked grave story. I mean, this has been an incredibly devastating narrative for Canadians. I mean, so many Canadians now believe just the absolute worst about our country. So I think it's important to go through and remind Canadians that so much of the story has never been verified, and so many of the claims just turned out to be completely false. So I'll just quickly mention the CBC story that came out in January, trying to again demonize the Catholic Church, make them look terrible. There's this headline that came out said the Catholic Church backed out of a $30 million fundraiser for residential school survivors. So you think, wow, add insult to injury. First, the Catholic Church is involved in killing all these kids, and now they won't even participate in a fundraiser. Well, of course, it's not true. None of it's true. And the CBC didn't even bother to do the right thing and issue a retraction. They just did like a stealth edit, and they changed the story because it wasn't true at all. The Catholic Church didn't back out of a $30 million fundraiser. They were actually had already started the fundraiser, and the fundraiser it continues. So it was just completely untrue. And then to hit the further, the further damaging part of the narrative, this idea that all these children were murdered at residential schools. Of course, the reality is that there's never been any proof. There's never been any evidence that this happened. It was all based on ground penetrating radar reports from pretty amateur professors, and it's all speculation. When it comes to actually finding human remains and excavations, nothing has ever turned out to actually verify the stories and to show the truth. So one of those stories came out. There have been several teams of excavators and researchers that have tried to discover human remains, and at this point they haven't. So earlier this year we learned of an excavation at a church in Pine Creek, Manitoba. This was one of the ones that was really drummed up, and media were really hoping that they were going to find some evidence here. Well, there was a residential school that operated from 1890 to 1969. But when the report came out, no human remains were found. And of course, this isn't the only residential school that had been excavated. There were several others in 2021 that were done. Look, I'm sure at some point, if they continue to do excavations, they will eventually find human remains inside on the grounds of a school or a church, just simply because these schools operated for 150 years, including during, huge global plagues like the Black Plague, where people did die. But the main story that somehow there were like nuns and priests and teachers and participating in like mass slaughter, mass murder, systematic murder, and then burying these kids under the schools. That there's just absolutely no evidence that happened. And I think 2023 was a year where we learned more about just how untrue that was. I'm so grateful that Tom Flanagan, Dr. Tom Flanagan, a retired professor over at the University of Calgary, put out a book this year called Grave Error, going through the actual history of the residential schools and talking about the media narrative and how damaging it was. So I'm pleased that True North had a hand in publishing that. I encourage everyone to give that book a read. And if you have read it, review it on Amazon, because it's just so important that we bust this myth and that we tell the truth to Canadians.
Where do you even begin with this story, Candace? It's actually really sad to see what's been going on here. The fact that all the evidence that we have points to the opposite of what we're being told by the legacy media. Every time that a First Nation actually goes on a dig, goes to excavate what they claim to be the remains of children, they end up finding nothing. And it just reinforces this idea that this country is evil, that this country is illegitimate, that it's built on genocide. You can't just say that about a country with zero evidence to back it up. The worst part about this, of course, is that at the same time, and I don't know if this is a coincidence, at the same time that First Nations began to try to excavate what they claimed were the remains of children and found nothing, the federal government released a report in which their appointee recommends to make denying residential schools, denying what happened at residential schools a crime, to make the denial of the genocide at residential schools a crime. It's absurd that we're now having the truth come up, which is the opposite of what we were being told, but yet we're also now contemplating making it a criminal offense to deny what are obviously lies. It's absurd, Candace. It's just unbelievable. This has clearly got to be one of the biggest fake news stories ever, probably the largest hoax in Canadian history. I mean, it's got to be up there.
Yeah, and it's scary. You're right. It's not just absurd and silly. It's actually terrifying when you think of the fact that these people actually want to wield power and make it a crime to have the conversation that we're having. I just want to add one note that I found really amusing, because the main story that hit this all off was that there was 215 graves found in Kamloops. And Dr. Flanagan, when I interviewed him about his book, he told me that the likely cause of those ground disturbances, so the reason that they got that number 215 was because of ground penetrating radar and because of ground disturbances. Well, Dr. Flanagan told me in his research, he learned that they had actually created a septic system. So a septic pool had been dug, and that was likely the cause of those ground disturbances. So I thought that was a great metaphor for the entire story, that it was all just a septic system. Okay, Harrison, let's move on to our top, the winners or the losers. I don't know whichever way you look at it, but why don't you tell us about what your top fake news story of 2023 was?
So the story that I've come to decide as the top fake news story of the year is the climate hysteria over the wildfires that we saw over this summer. If you recall, take yourself back a few months, back into really June, we had a series of wildfires, devastating wildfires really, in Alberta and Quebec and in Ontario. And there was a lot of bad smoke in Ottawa, and in Toronto you could see it, which was quite abnormal. But of course, Candace, everybody jumped to climate change. It was instantly blamed as being the result of climate change, of course, because nothing else could possibly be to blame for these wildfires. Now, the problem was, despite this, there were routine articles that would come out from whether they were in Nova Scotia to Quebec to Alberta. Well, people were being investigated for arson. The police in Quebec, for example, said that they were investigating arson as the main cause for the wildfires. There was no discussion from the Liberal government that this could possibly be the result of humans. Not just arson, but human behavior. Lighting matches in the forest, dropping cigarette butts in the forest. No discussion about that, because it doesn't really fit with their narrative, does it? They need to push the fear of climate change onto Canadians in order to justify their carbon taxes, in order to justify all of their emissions reduction schemes. And so they ratcheted up the fear, Candace, to 10. They went from 0 to 10 with this fear. Look at this montage that I was able to put together of politicians, cabinet ministers, all, of course, blaming climate change.
Year after year, With climate change, we're seeing more and more intense wildfires.
And with the accelerating impact of climate change, we very much will continue to do so moving forward.
Part of this is because of climate change, and that we collectively, certainly in Canada and around the world, need to do more and accelerate the fight against climate change.
Clearly, the government has not taken the climate crisis seriously. Their actions show that very clearly. Our country is literally on fire, and this Liberal government thinks that business as usual is fine.
Now, here's the problem, Candace. The data never backed up their theory, not once. The National Wildfire Database showed that actually wildfires have been decreasing since 1995. Strange how climate change can be the cause of such a decrease in wildfires. Also, take another look at this National Wildfires Database. Notice that there was a steep decrease in wildfires in 2020. It falls off the graph, basically. There were basically no wildfires compared to other years in 2020. What happened in 2020, Candace? Nobody left their house. We were in lockdown. Strange how that works. Climate change must have just paused for 2020. And furthermore, the Alberta Wildfire Database says that more than half of the wildfires this year were the cause of humans. It's just ridiculous that they tried to ratchet up the fear this way, but again, the legacy media didn't do any journalism. They discredited reporters like myself who called into question the possibility that this was arson, and they just kept going on and on about how, of course, it has to be climate change.
Well, Harrison, I want to commend you for your reporting on this topic because basically, you know, you put out these great reports just pointing out the truth, pointing out the facts, and all of a sudden, the legacy media started attacking you, which you always know you've done something right, but they were really bothered by the fact that you were pointing this out and they were trying to debunk you, but then it turned out that they were wrong. And, you know, as soon as because you're out there telling the truth and you've got a big audience and people are watching, and it's like you're threatening the monopoly that legacy media have to just spread lies to fit their propaganda, because they support the Liberals. Liberals support carbon taxes. Carbon taxes are justified over this complete fear mongering and, you know, almost conspiracies about climate change. We talked about conspiracy theories in the last show on Fake News Friday. This is kind of like a left wing conspiracy, isn't it? And you had the temerity to point it out. And so they came after you, which was pretty amusing.
Yeah, it was astonishing. I remember doing the research for that show and realizing, like, I was sort of half interested in it, and I thought maybe there's something here, and I just kept looking at the data from the federal government, from the provincial government, seeing these stories of the police investigating arson, and I thought, this is ridiculous here. So the police are looking into arson. In Alberta, they were looking into arson. They even charged people for starting off these wildfires, and yet we have people like Elizabeth May in the House of Commons saying her eyes were burning in the House of Commons. Therefore, clearly we must stop oil and gas production, right? She goes on this rant about how her eyes are burning. We must stop the pipelines because of the wildfires. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. This is an example, like you said, Candace, of the left fully embracing conspiracy theories. And we never get to have that conversation. It's time that we call out the left for their conspiracy theories, because this is crazy.
It really was. It really was. And it was an excuse for the, you know, the nanny state to come back out and tell us all to wear our masks again and, you know, wag the finger, try to bring that thing back. Well, that wasn't going to happen. All right, Harrison, I want to announce what I thought was the top fake news story of the year. The winner came courtesy of our friends over at the CBC. So let me walk you through this story. In the middle of the 2023 Alberta election campaign, in the middle of the campaign, the CBC drops a bombshell of a news story with an incredible accusation against the sitting Premier Danielle Smith. So the CBC, citing anonymous sources, of course, claimed that Danielle Smith and her office were personally trying to meddle and interfere in a police investigation. The accusation was that some members of the Premier's staff had sent emails directly to the Crown prosecutors ordering them to let up on COVID rule breakers, specifically the investigation into the border blockade during the trucker convoy in Coutts, Alberta. So huge accusation, almost reminiscent, Harrison, of what Justin Trudeau did to his attorney general, trying to pressure pressure his attorney general at the time to drop charges against SNC-Lavalin, which happened to be a big liberal donor. So they were kind of taking this story of what Trudeau had done a couple of years ago and accusing Danielle Smith of doing the same thing. Well, this reading from the National Post here, they say, this accusation, this story, it created a nasty suspicion that the premier's office was interfering directly in individual criminal prosecutions, and it rightly led to an investigation by the province's ethics commissioner. And in the meantime, the CBC stood stubbornly by its story. So Danielle Smith, to her credit, right off the bat, said, no, this didn't happen. She ordered that the bureaucracy have a full review of all the emails that were sent between her office and the Crown Prosecutor. She took it seriously, but she said that she didn't have any recollection. The government did that. They did this review and they found nothing, right? And so it went to this independent investigator. So it escalated just because of a CBC report, again, not really quoting anyone. And meanwhile, you know, the CBC is adamantly saying this is true. No, we're standing by our story. We stand by our story. It went to an investigation. And then eventually the investigation came back once again with no evidence, no evidence of alleged emails being sent, no evidence of Danielle Smith or anyone from her office doing what the CBC alleged to do. Well, it didn't matter. Despite their best efforts, Danielle Smith still won the election. So CBC tried to smear her, tried to tell Albertans this person can't be trusted because she's, you know, whatever, a threat to democracy or interfering or whatever. Well, of course, Danielle Smith was vindicated. Danielle Smith was right. Finally, after months and months of the CBC insisting her story was true and refusing to retract it, finally, almost 6 months later in July, so they waited for the middle of the summer, and finally, the CBC retracted their story. So here it is here. CBC is retracting a report alleging someone in Premier Smith's office emailed Crown prosecutors to question and challenging the handle of cases involving COVID-19. CBC made an announcement Wednesday in an unsigned editor's note atop an amended online version of the January 19th story. They said, our sources have insisted that Crown prosecutors felt political pressure regarding the Coutts, Alberta cases, but they are not able to confirm that the emails they originally described were sent directly from the Premier's office to the Crown. So, I mean, Harrison, this is just so ridiculous. The CBC didn't even see the emails, right? They put out this bombshell in the middle of election. Like, what kind of controls do they have over at the CBC that they would put out this story without even seeing it? They were just relying on someone else who was telling them that these emails existed. But you would think, like you know, I've been in this business for a while. You went to journalism school. You've interviewed a lot of people. If you're going to put out a bombshell, if you're going to put out a story with unnamed sources, you better have at least personally seen those emails. One of your reporters should have seen those emails to verify that they are true instead of taking someone's word for it. Someone with a vendetta, obviously. I mean, the CBC just lost. This is seriously one of the worst examples of a news organization losing credibility. They really risked their credibility with going after the premier during an election. And they were wrong. They were wrong. The story was not true. It was false. Danielle Smith was vindicated. I don't know how anyone can ever trust the CBC. This story alone is a reason why the CBC should be defunded. No one in Alberta, no one in the Alberta government should ever do an interview with this outlet again, because it has just completely burnt any shred of credibility that they ever had in Alberta.
Absolutely. And the reality is, Candace, the CBC would never write that story about Rachel Notley. They would never write that story without their sources being absolutely perfect against Justin Trudeau, for example. But let's be honest, even if they did have the sources, they wouldn't run the story. They'd give it to somebody else because they're not in the business of holding left-wing politicians to account. They're clearly in the business of trying to dunk on conservatives and Danielle Smith in the middle of an election. The CBC gets a lot of things wrong. They publish a lot of fake stories. They rarely have to issue a full retraction. And to do it in the middle of an election, obviously, and we also talked about this too, to do it in the middle of an election without having the sources spot on is clearly interfering, in my opinion, in the election. In my opinion, Candace, this is clear election interference. If you're going to publish a story like that in the middle of an election and not have it absolutely on the money, that is interfering in the election. Furthermore, once a story is published, it is accepted by the public. Even if you retract it months later, which they obviously did, it doesn't have any impact because the news cycle is gone. So the CBC knows what they're doing. Publishing it in the first place was clearly wrong. And the reality is they would never do it if it was Rachel Notley. They would never do that if it was Justin Trudeau. They do it because it's a conservative politician. They are clearly against conservative politicians. It's obvious. And it doesn't matter once they retract it. They know that the story was out there, the story did its damage, and thank God that the election went the way it did. Because if it had gone the other way, this story could have seriously impacted the election result, which would have been a disaster.
You're right. No, it is election interference, clearly. And it's from the top levels. It's government-funded election interference. I mean, it's so bad. Honestly, Harrison, you're completely right that this wouldn't happen against a left-wing professor, but a left-wing politician. But just, you know, the CBC just doesn't have any credibility. Like, I don't understand how anyone can take them seriously after this entire back and forth. They clearly have a political axe to grind against Danielle Smith because she's an independent thinker, because she's not going to be controlled by, you know, the forces that the CBC is behind. And so they try to smear her, and they failed. They dug their heels in only to be proven wrong. Really, really, you know, whenever Pierre Poilievre gets elected and defunds this despicable organization, no one will miss it. It is because of stories like this and actions like this that they deserve to lose every cent of government funding that they have. I think we should leave it at that, Harrison. So those are our top fake news stories of 2023. Thank you so much to the audience for tuning in with us and following along for all these shenanigans that happened in the Canadian media. Happy New Year. Happy 2024. And we'll be back next year with more. This is Fake News Friday. I'm Candace Malcolm, and this is The Candace Malcolm Show.